Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
Who's Austin Peterson? I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family, but I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about? Freedom! That's right, pure freedom on the Freedom Report podcast. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Report podcast. I'm your host, Austin Peterson, and I really want to say thanks a lot for listening. I'm going to change up the format of the show a little bit today, and instead of focusing on just one major topic, I'm going to be covering a variety of topics today. And if you're a regular listener and this is new to you, do me a favor. Tell me what you think of the new format. If you enjoy it, send me some feedback. I'd love to hear from you. Don't forget, if you haven't already, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a good review. 5 stars helps us out quite a bit. And you can also find us on Stitcher if you're on the Android device. All right, so let's get today's show started. Rubio, Ryan, and Obamacare. That's right, Marco Rubio, the senator from Florida, and Ryan, the congressman from Wisconsin, are teaming up on a proposal to replace President Barack Obama's signature health care law. And when I say replace, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about new legislation here. We're talking about the Congress introducing something new. Now, they say it's an alternative, and the word is alternative. That is key. And obviously, I think that the conservative Republicans, libertarians, people, the limited government types in this election really wanted people to attack some of the key provisions of healthcare. I mean, obviously, I think that the conservatives and the Republicans and libertarians all want this to be repealed. However, it's not likely to happen. The president would veto this if there was a chance to repeal Obamacare in the Senate or the House to pass that through. We all know the president would say, no, no, no. Well, Marco Rubio and Congressman Paul Ryan, which are sort of part of the establishment. You know, Ryan was the vice presidential candidate, along with Mitt Romney in the last election. And Marco Rubio, well, he's the Republican from Florida who sort of rode to power on the backs of the Tea Party wave and then subsequently became instantly a member of the establishment. And, you know, people look at him as a real conservative. You know, he's sort of a leader in the party, you might say, but definitely a part of the establishment. And interestingly enough, the dynamics of this at play here in the Obamacare fight on the Republican side is going to be, you know, who's going to sort of be the presidential candidate in 2016? Who has the power in the party right now is the question. And when Rubio and Ryan are sort of posturing out there, offering their alternatives to Obamacare, they know that they, you know, they're sort of setting themselves up for their futures here because, again, the president can veto whatever he wants, of course. And the issue of Obamacare and whether or not it's going to pass or whether or not the certain provisions are going to get passed, it matters at a certain level. There's three major provisions that are being looked at right now to get rid of, not replace, but to get rid of, such as a tax on medical devices. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're not familiar what this is basically there's billions of dollars at stake on whether or not companies who create medical devices will be taxed as part of their gross revenue or, you know, part of their profits, whatever. But basically, they're charging, you know, a gross revenue point. Plus, they're paying corporate income taxes. It's just going to, it's a humongous burden on industry. And so we want to see that repealed. You know, I want to see it repealed for philosophical reasons as much as practical reasons, because I think the economics of higher taxes just doesn't work. And that's something that most of the people listening to the show probably agree with me on. Although I like to try and speak as if I'm speaking to a normal American person with this podcast. It's a libertarian show, which means we cover libertarian topics. Some of the topics that I cover are related to life at large, though. And that, to me, is part of liberty. Life is part of liberty. And I think that it's important for us to discuss certain topics, even if they seem silly, even if they seem a bit tabloidish. Sometimes because when violence happens, I believe that it always concerns liberty. You know, if there's a fight on the subway in New York City, for example, we've got a big story right now on my sister's site, Liberty Viral, And there's a big street fight where this girl attacks a guy. She's calling him names because he's got a speech impediment. And he's a huge guy wearing an 8-ball jacket, and she's making fun of him for the way he talks. And she slaps him on the back of the head. This guy turns around, bam, right in the hood rat's face. And, oh, man, was this story popular? Because they called this video Slap the Soul Out of This Girl. He said he slapped the soul out of her. And, you know, this has become a gender issue, and we're going to get on the subjects of race later in the show because I'm going to be talking about Mia Love. And actually, let me just give you a quick preview of the rest of the show. I'll try and keep the podcast under 20 minutes today. But we are going to be talking about Elizabeth Warren today. We're going to be talking about redistribution of wealth. We're going to be talking about the Democrats actually put Elizabeth Warren into a leadership post, or putting her into some leadership position. So it looks like they're grooming Elizabeth Warren. And that's someone that we really need to keep an eye on if we believe in limited government, because I like to say that people like Elizabeth Warren are like humanitarians with guillotines. And a lot of people like Elizabeth Warren, you know, on the left especially. And some libertarians do, because they think that because she pushes for things like consumer protections, quote unquote, that she's, you know, fighting for the people. Well, unfortunately, that's not the case. And even if you were at heart a populist, you have to understand that individual liberty is what a libertarian really should be focused on. And trying to put protections, like create consumer protection bureaus, is not libertarian. And we'll talk about her later in the show. But we're also, when we're talking about like the video of the girl getting slapped in the face, we're going to be talking about Mia Love. She was the Republican first black African-American. I say African-American, but she's the first American black woman who was elected as a Republican to Congress from Utah. And interestingly enough, the liberals, oh man, they always call Republicans racist, but there is a lot of racist BS coming out of liberal circles. And I've got a story from the Huffington Post where basically they're saying that Mia Love is benefiting from white privilege. She's got white privilege. The first African-American Republican, of course, she's got white privilege. And we're going to talk about what it means to be a leader and to be strong and to be an individual later in the show. And then, you know, we've got a story. It's about a viral video, a pregnant panhandling mother. We want to know at the Liberty Viral, do you give money to panhandlers? Do you think you should give money to panhandlers? So we're going to put a poll out this afternoon, and I'd like you to listen to to vote on the poll. You can go to thelibertarianrepublic.com and go down to the right-hand side of the page. Do us a favor. Tell us, do you donate to homeless people? The pregnant panhandling mother story is on Liberty Viral. You can find her there. But the poll will be at the Libertarian Republic. I should probably just put it on both pages. But anyways, I'll do that. By the time you listen to this podcast, it'll be up. But the panhandling mother basically is a story where this woman was taking her child out. She's pregnant. She's going. She's begging for money. And what does she do afterwards? She goes and gets in a Mercedes-Benz. A Mercedes. Yeah. So I mean, it's sort of the big story that's brewing there. The local news has got the country talking. You know, they're reporting about this woman who, she's got her husband coming in on the weekends. They're begging for cash. And, I mean, five people in 5 minutes, you know, she's standing out there with her, you know, you kind of using her kid as a prop. And she's making a lot of money, apparently. But, you know, they want to give it to her, and she wants to take it. So, I mean, is it a crime? Probably not. Is it shady? Absolutely. We'll talk about that again later in the show. Big story today, Taylor Swift. Ooh. Lord, apparently. This is from Gawker. We're going to gossip a little bit. Now, I don't know if you're a big music fan, but I certainly am. And I know that this isn't political necessarily, but, man, every once in a while we got to have some fun and talk about something silly. But here's the story. Apparently, if you know Lorde, she's the one who sings the song Royals. And you've probably heard that song. And maybe I'll just loop it in here right now so you can hear it. Yeah. All right. And but otherwise, you know, basically what happened was is that there's a feud. And Katy Perry's boyfriend is this DJ by the name of Diplo. And apparently the DJ tweeted at Taylor Swift that he wanted to start a Kickstarter about how he would, he wanted to raise money to get Taylor Swift a booty. And I swear to God, I'll read the quotes to you later in the show, the tweets later in the show. But Lord stepped in and is like telling him he needs to grow a penis. And we need to start a Kickstarter for his penis, the size of his penis, to get him a penis. But yeah, obviously this is the big news today. Whatever. No, let's start down the line. We're going to go through the show and we'll talk about these issues. So here's the issue. Starting with the first topic, Rubio and Ryan on Obamacare. So this is what I'm concerned, all right? This is the heart of the matter. I'm concerned that when Republicans talk about repealing and replace, like just like Mitt Romney did, that they're going to offer an alternative that's just going to be bigger government, and it's just going to increase the size of the debt, and it's just going to put us into more of a situation where we have not just Obamacare, we have something Obamacare plus something worse. So, I mean, I don't see how repealing even just the medical... Listen, I'm optimistic, but I don't see how repealing the medical device tax or changing the law's requirement that employers provide health insurance to those working 30 hours a week to 40 hours a week. I don't see how these little trimming around the hedges are going to get us anywhere. Honestly, the policy to me, you know, as a limited government, fiscal conservative, economic libertarian, and Austrian... I think we've just got to have gridlock, and unless we have anything that's being repealed, I know, pass the medical device tax and all that kind of stuff, but don't replace. Just put this government into total gridlock until 2016 occurs, and if we get a Tea Party conservative Republican, Tea Party libertarian-leaning conservative Republican in that white, in the Oval Office, then we can get full repeal of Obamacare, and that's what we need to be focusing on. But no, if the Republicans stand there and they offer this terrible plan and they don't solve the problems of the American people, they can just expect that in 2016 they're probably not going to get voted in office again. All right, next issue. Elizabeth Warren. This is one that really fired up my followers. And I have a Facebook page. It's actually Producer Peterson. If you go to facebook.com/ProducerPeterson, it's my public-facing... per se page. It's kind of like my persona. You know, you can't have more than 5,000 friends on Facebook, and so I needed a place to sort of house my my professional stuff. And basically what happened was I set up a post today to talk about Elizabeth Warren, and I said that basically that she was, that the Democrats elevating her to a higher position is... Hold on, I'm pulling it up for you right now. Here we go. Oh yeah, Democrats promoting Elizabeth Warren means two things. One, liberals really mean it when they say they want to redistribute wealth, and they're willing to promote someone who is a devout socialist. And two, Democrats are tone deaf after losing the election over the fact that Americans don't want socialism. Right, so my point here is this. Two things. Liberals, they really are not liberal, okay? I am a liberal. I am a classical liberal. A fiscal conservatism, as it's known today, is classical liberalism. A real, true, limited government conservatism. Austrian economics, in many ways, is the most radical version of that, which I come to represent in many ways. But the Democrats who are of today, they really sincerely believe in what Elizabeth Warren believes when she talks about how you built a factory out in the country. Great. Keep a big hunk of it. But part of the underlying social contract is that you give a piece back. You got your products to market on the roads that we built. You got your fruit to market because, and you were safe because the firefighters were keeping you safe, and blah, 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 and everything has happened. This wonderfulness is because of our taxes. Okay, fine, fair enough. And then you definitely pay, we've all paid the taxes into the system that we live in right now. That's true. However, the problem is that you never gave us an alternative, Elizabeth. We didn't have a choice. And we as libertarians, I say we as classical libertarians, classical liberals, are people who are true liberals, Elizabeth. We believe in choice. You like to call yourselves pro-choice, the liberals, the Democrats, the socialists, the social Democrats, the communists, the Marxists, the boogeyman. No, seriously. You never gave us a choice, you know, and that's the thing, you know, when we talk about decentralization in the economy, the Democrats, they don't want decentralization. They want economic control, economic power, centralized. They don't want you to have choices.
you have a choice? Oh, no, it's my body, right? They always say, they talk about, I love it, it's my body, my right when it comes to my, to their ovaries, but it's not my wallet, my right when it comes to my pocketbook. Oh, no. They don't understand the concept of individual rights. They don't understand the concept of individual economic freedom. And people like Elizabeth Warren who want to use big government and use the law as a hammer on free enterprise, that to me is not going to fly. And I know a lot of my listeners are probably big fans maybe of net neutrality because they see the corporatism that goes on, but it's the cronyism that's the problem. It's the monopoly power that's handed to them from the government that's the problem. The government is not the solution. The government is the problem. Ronald Reagan had that right. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm getting fired up on this because nobody really makes me angrier than Elizabeth Warren, and I don't care about the Native American controversy. I don't give a damn about that stuff. What I care about are the issues. That's what we're talking about here at the Freedom Report. If you're enjoying the show so far and you're fired up with me as we're listening to this, we're talking about this, do me a favor, subscribe. Go to libertarianrepublic.com and subscribe, or iTunes, and please leave me a good review if you're enjoying the show. All right, continuing, done with the commercial. Mia Love. You know, I love Mia Love. Let me tell you why I love Mia Love, ladies and gentlemen. Because she drives the liberals nuts. And in many ways, that's why I like Sarah Palin. And my hardcore libertarian audience, like, they're going to be like, oh, groan, Sarah Palin. But I don't care because she was always really nice. And she was nice to work with at Fox. And she wants to audit the Fed. And she was nice to Ron Paul and to libertarians. So screw y'all if you're all hating. Anyways, Mia Love, we haven't seen what she's going to do yet. You know what I mean? She's only had a couple of small roles in government, local government there in Utah. And now she's going to be a congressman. And I just got to read this story to you from the Huffington Post. I got this cut from Newsbusters, you know. And they're pulling from this story. Darren Smith, PhD, blah, blah, blah. He writes for the Huffington Post about Mia Love and her Stockholm syndrome of black Mormons. Ooh. She says that she represents, Darren Smith says that she represents a victory for, quote, white privilege. Ooh, man, not holding back. So let me just read a little some little snippets from Darren Smith, and then we can just read it and talk about it. Darren Smith, PhD, who, quote, looks black but writes for the very white, Arianna Huffington, wondered, how does a black female conservative and Latter-day Saint manage to negotiate so many foreboding white contexts? Her election in a largely white district still represents a victory for, quote, white privilege. She apparently suffers from an apparent Stockholm syndrome of black Mormons and makes a, quote, unholy compromise in avoiding any racial or gender advocacy. Here we go. This is from the piece. Love's political convictions show a strong support for values that do not necessarily represent her interests as a member in any of these oppressed groups. For example, blacks are not doing well with respect to education, economics, and health outcomes, while women still trail behind in salary and significant positions of power. And conservative politics are not typically known to aid these groups in such key issues. These actualities of Mia's existence seem to be diametrically opposed to her values that are grounded in a white, male, Christian context. She appears publicly and hampered by the daily grind of white racism that affects other racial minorities within the United States. Unlike most of them, Mia gets to walk through the hallowed doors of white institutions controlled by elite, powerful men. She is allowed to pass through in her black, female body with the understanding that she must not see, speak, or openly advocate for anything related to race or gender, an unholy compromise. Hence, she might look black, but her politics are red. Oh my God. Now, there is a lot I could say about this, but I am not going to sit here and blab for the next 3 hours, ladies and gentlemen. I'll give you a nice, tight show. But, listen, let me just start here at the top, all right? Blacks are not doing well with respect to education, economics, and health. True. Very true. Problem analyzed properly, all right? Women still trail behind in salary and significant positions of power, okay? He starts this properly. Yes, women are behind in salaries for certain reasons. And he says significant positions of power, but what do you decide is significant? That to me is subjective. And conservative politics are not typically known to aid these groups in key issues, he says. Okay, Maybe that's true, but conservatives think they are aiding women by being pro-life, and you don't define that like that, and that's a debate that we can have. However, that is one way that conservatives see themselves as helping women, not being murdered by abortion, or subjecting women to those procedures. However, again, not debating abortion here, but in a way, they're right. Conservatives are not typically looked at as, you know, advocating for women's rights as you define them. Libertarians do stick up for many of these issues when it comes to why certain institutional problems may exist, and these are known as left libertarians, and they have the best economic perspectives on these, I think, because the social issues that we're looking at as a problem, I think, are misdiagnosed. You know, the problems of oppression are from the government. You know, when we're talking about why can't a woman buy birth control over the counter, that's a woman's issue, that's a libertarian issue, and that's not one that a lot of liberals, that's not a debate that a lot of liberals want to have. Because, and some conservatives are warming to the idea of freeing up prescription, from prescription birth control over the counter, so that, I think it's a human right issue, but, you know, again, I'm a drug war abolitionist, you know, and the war on drugs type, and I don't think Mia Love's going to be that. Now, do I think Mia Love is a libertarian? No, probably not. She's probably more of a, you know, she's a Mormon, she's conservative, but she's, you know, got her head on straight, it seems. We'll see how she does when she gets in Congress, but I would expect Mia Love to be more of a typical conservative Republican on the issues that, conservative Republicans are conservative on, like the war on drugs. They are for the war on drugs, and libertarians, might like myself, are against it. So Mia Love, you know, I think it's a mixed bag. You know, again, why did I say I liked her at the beginning of this? Because she drives liberals nuts, and I'm sure she'll advocate for economic freedom in many ways. She's going to stand for conservative causes. But what the liberals are upset about is that she's not going to be an advocate for their issues. You know what's amazing? It's Mia Love actually said she wants to join the Congressional Black Congress. The Congressional Black Caucus and tear that thing up from the inside. I can't wait to see if the Democrats are even going to let her join and how they're going to treat her. It's going to be one hell of a story the next 2 years. You can bet we'll be covering that. If we're here, the Libertarian Republic, we'll be covering that. So next they go on. This is the way that white privilege is reproduced at the legislative level of government. Notwithstanding Alan West, Michael Steele, Amy Holmes, Alan Keyes, Tim Scott, in South Carolina. And, you know, people just, they're so, the Democrats, they accuse Republicans and libertarians and conservatives of being out of touch, but, and conservatives in some ways are, but liberals are the most out of touch with the American people. Because when he talks about her walking through these institutions controlled by powerful white men, yeah, and she's welcomed there. And why is she welcomed there? Not because she won't talk about the issues that matter to people of her community. It's because the people of her community have misdiagnosed why they have the problems that they have. And, you know, Ben Stein actually got in big trouble the other day for talking about race. And he used the word underclass when he described African-Americans and the culture of keeping them down, of them sort of keeping themselves down. Charles Barkley said the same thing recently. Famous basketball player Charles Barkley, again, got into big trouble because he said, you know, that blacks, when I try and achieve something, it's looked as you're trying to get too uppity and you're trying to, you know, you need to be hood, you need to go to jail. That's how you gain respect in the community. And that somebody who, you know, and it's hilarious. I've, you know, been playing Grand Theft Auto 5 recently. One of the main parts of the storyline is the dynamic between the main character Franklin and Lamar, his best buddy. And when Franklin starts to make too much money, and he's obviously doing it through a life of crime, but Lamar and the hood, his girlfriend Tanisha and a bunch of his friends basically all turn on him, saying he's too uppity, he's too cool now because he lives in the Hollywood Hills. So that storyline, I guess, is common, and it is sad and it's unfortunate. You know, I love my father, and my father's been my biggest influence because my mother died when I was very young. And so I always looked up to my father, and he's a very honorable man. But I know that so many black men, young black men, don't have fathers. And we see now that, you know, Ben Stein, he got in trouble for saying what he's saying. He's talking about a black underclass. But I do feel for my black friends who didn't have fathers and they didn't have the same experience that I did. And I was lucky to have that. And that is a very formative experience. We have to ask ourselves, why is this happening? Why do we have this fall off in the family? I think that's what Mia Love is going to talk about. And she's going to talk about those issues of family. And I think that the liberals won't like to hear that. And that's what they sort of fear in this debate. I'm glad we could talk about this, though. Anyways, all right, so moving on. Let's talk about these social issues one last time here, and then we're going to talk about Taylor Swift. All right, pregnant, panhandling, mother. Okay, so do you give money to people who are on the street homeless? I used to until I got scammed once, and I'll tell you what happened. I was in New Jersey coming back from New York, driving down home to D.C., and I stopped at a rest stop in Jersey on the off the turnpike. And this woman came and asked me for $20 because she ran out of money for gas. She had her baby with her, and she gave me the whole sob story and stuff like that, and she seemed really desperate. And I'm not going to lie, I gave her money. And I wouldn't say a lot of money, but I gave her enough money to get her safely home. And I thought to myself, I shouldn't do, you know, I definitely considered not doing it, but... You know, I thought to myself, what if that was me? What if this was this last act of charity was all you needed to get home? And she seemed like her story was legit. But, you know, turns out like a week later, I'm driving the same spot and I see her doing the same thing. Amazing, right? People do this. They do it all the time. If you go to libertyviral.com today, you'll see this story about this pregnant panhandling mother. Do me a favor. Go to the libertarianrepublic.com. Participate in the poll. Join the opinion stage poll that we have put up on the libertarianrepublic.com. And tell us, do you give money to panhandlers? Do you think you should? I'm curious as to what our audience has to say about that. So weigh in with your thoughts and tell me what you think you should do. All right, last bit of news here. Now, this is a story that some of you guys, maybe if you're done with this, you can tune out, but I want to talk about it because it's a hilarious, hilarious story. I love Taylor Swift. I love Katy Perry. I love Lorde. Actually, I really love Diplo, this DJ. He's fantastic. And if you're into music, if you're a hardcore music buff like me, then you'll definitely want to read this story. Lorde tells Diplo to fix his tiny penis in Taylor Swift Twitter feud. And there's not just, like, all of this. You couldn't include all the celebrities who are involved in this this crazy, you know, back and forth. But listen to this. You do not make fun of Taylor Swift's little booty on Twitter and get away with it, my friend. Not when Lorde's ancient spirit is also on Twitter. The Twitter spat began yesterday when Diplo, boyfriend of Katy Perry, the subject of Taylor Swift's Bad Blood anthem, quote, Bad Blood, tweeted that someone should make a Kickstarter to get Taylor Swift a booty. And this is what Diplo said. Someone should make Kickstarter to get Taylor Swift a booty. Okay, we established this. He was in Miami, I guess, at the time. And it's got 2,000 retweets. And this is the Gawker writer saying, maybe you should just do it yourself. You want it so bad, Diplo. Lazy. Of course, someone did it for Diplo almost instantly, ensuring that Diplo will never learn his lesson. And he posts, get Taylor Swift a booty, the Fundly account, 2,700 retweets, which I'm loving this. The Fundly campaign to get Taylor Swift a booty asks, for $3,500, over a grand less than the average price of a butt augmentation, by the way. One has to assume the creator of the Fundly, Eric Spivak, was planning on Taylor Swift kicking in the difference. As of posting, the Fundly has raised $45. Lorde, sweet old witch and friend of Taylor Swift, who is the enemy of Katy Perry, who is the girlfriend of Diplo, told Diplo to do something about his... almost certainly accurately, tiny penis. So, Lorde tweeted at Diplo, hey, should we do something about your tiny penis while we're at it? And that has 25,000 retweets, 31,000 favorites. Lorde wins this fight. Sorry, Diplo, you're an awesome DJ. Taylor Swift. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to Freedom Report Podcast. If you enjoyed our show today, go to libertarianpublic.com, take our poll. Send us your stories, anything going on out there in the world of liberty. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to hear from you. Thank you very much, and have a great day.